It's E-Commerce Minute, your weekly dose of e-commerce, tech, and retail news with your hosts, John Suter, Bart Meraz, and Brittany Blackman. The E-Commerce Minute is a production of Sumo Heavy, a digital commerce consulting firm in Brooklyn, New York, and Philadelphia. Find us on the web at sumoheavy.com.
It's the E-Commerce Minute, episode 786.
These are our top stories in e-commerce, tech, and retail for the week of March 1st, 2021. Walmart is growing its marketplace and enticing Amazon sellers through a new partnership with BigCommerce. Merchants selling through the BigCommerce platform can now easily integrate their brands with the Walmart marketplace and sell their goods on walmart.com. The integration puts 120 Walmart shoppers within reach of BigCommerce's merchants. The company said the partnership will allow it to rapidly scale the number of products it offers consumers beyond the 85 million currently available. Once they're approved by Walmart, their listings and catalogs will flow through to the marketplace. Walmart's commission rates are on par with the industry, and they aim to be competitive. The company also doesn't have insertion fees, so there's no fee to list items. You only pay when your items sell. Merchants connecting into Walmart Marketplace through BigCommerce will also gain access to a curated network of complementary partners, including SaidCommerce, Codisto Channel Cloud, Feedonomics, SureDone, Zentail, Tinuity, Tecumatics, and Deliver. These partners support listing, order and inventory management, advertisement, and fulfillment needs. Back in June, Walmart announced a similar partnership with Shopify, which said it would bring 1,200 new sellers to the platform. The effort was focused on small and medium-sized businesses that complemented the existing assortment. BigCommerce sellers represent products across a variety of categories, including apparel, home goods, consumables, and hardlines. It's no surprise that the retailer is pursuing an aggressive strategy for this marketplace, since Walmart U.S. e-commerce posted a 69% nice increase in the fourth quarter compared to total sales, which grew 7.3%. BigCommerce has also reported strong growth in recent quarters, supported by partnerships similar to the one that was recently announced. The e-commerce SaaS provider rolled out an integration with Wish last year that proved to be fruitful, so why not take another swing at a new partnership? This is good for both companies, good for the sellers. I like these things.
I have to say, when you were reading off the list of partners, I couldn't help but to laugh because it literally just sounded like you were making up sounds.
Right? I read the script this morning. I'm like, I've never heard of any of these. And it's like, gnip, gnop.
Yeah, I was like, what are those noises he's making?
It's .com for you, baby. You know, they've run out of syllables and vowels to crush together. So, you know, now we just make things up. True. What do you think?
I've seen Sure Done, but that's about it. Yeah, what? That's a lot of channel. That makes no sense. I'm guessing this is all BigCommerce stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I've never heard of any of these providers either. Let's talk about BigCommerce for a second. You don't really hear a lot from them, but they're still around. I mean, what are they, like the number four, you know, in terms of that space? Or
yeah, they play in the same world. BigCommerce has really pushed their stuff into B2B and sort of headless commerce, a lot more B2B. Okay. They're trying to sort of corner that market a little more since Shopify went into, you know, a bigger world. The other side of it is they're actually really, really big in the weed world.
Really? Because,
yes. And the reason for that is Shopify is a Canadian company. So Shopify will do sort of weed and paraphernalia for marijuana sales online in Canada, because in Canada it's all legal. They will not do it in the States.
Right.
BigCommerce based out of Boston. So it's a different place. So they'll do a lot more.
Okay.
So they're kind of trying to take the corners of the market that Shopify will not do.
Yeah. That's smart.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So they're B2B and they focus on the niche markets that Shopify either can or won't touch. So it's pretty smart. Like I said, I used to design BigCommerce websites back in ye olden days. And I just, as I read this, I was like, I hadn't really heard too much from them. And I guess because the B2B thing, which is a little less sexy than the stuff that Shopify does. So all makes sense. Again, this is good for both parties and especially the sellers. We have a stat here. VitaBox, a seller of everyday products, including vitamins, bath gels, and skin products, saw a 25% increase in sales once it was able to sell its 8,500 plus items on Walmart. And I think that's across the board. Obviously, you don't want to silo your sales just to one thing. You want to go to these marketplaces. And now that everyone's all connected and everything, you know, it's good for the small sellers. And, you know, good for Walmart's bottom line, because they need more money, don't they? All right, let's go to the next one. Target teams up with Apple for in-store. As foot traffic in malls has dwindled, popular mall staples have had to rethink their retail store operations. One such retailer, Apple, has teamed up with Target and is set to open dedicated Apple shops in 17 of its locations. Leveraging a 15-year-long partnership with Apple, Target plans to expand the Apple shop in shops by the end of fall. The dedicated shops will double the tech giant's footprint in certain stores to expand its offerings. The collaboration is designed to give guests a better Apple shopping experience, making it easier to shop for Apple products in specific Target locations. Additionally, Target will provide product demonstrations hosted by Target tech consultants who will receive special training through Apple. The dedicated space for Apple shop and shops at Target will include new lighting fixtures and displays for Apple products because we know Target loves giving their fancier products special lighting. The collaboration also expands the product assortment online. Previous initiatives from Target indicate that the retailer may be using exclusive brand partnerships and product lines as a strategy to drive sales and gain market share. These partnerships and initiatives continued even during the pandemic, which helped Target thrive during the economic downturn. During its third quarter, Target posted 20.7% comparable sales growth thanks to increases in in-store traffic, up 4.5%, and ticket size, up 15.6%. Target's rise during a time when many in the industry are struggling highlights that the retailer is an advantageous partner. And finally, we'd be remiss if not mentioning that Fry's Electronics, one of the last big brick-and-mortar electronics store chains in the United States, is permanently closing nationwide. Even before the COVID-19 pandemic, the family-owned business had been pushed to the brink of extinction by online retailers like Amazon, Newegg, and others. The company had even started a campaign to price match any item you could find online. Its relationship with Silicon Valley was symbiotic, and its loss feels like a blow to Valley culture as much as a business failure. In the age when it was founded and prospered back in 1985, the iconic products of the Valley were indeed products from Apple desktop computers to HP laser printers to Seagate hard drives. Apple's shift from malls and tech retailers like Fry's into the likes of giant mainstays like Target is a foreshadowing of what's to come in the new era of retailer. Pour one out for Fry's. That is a real shame. Obviously, we didn't have any Fry's on the East Coast, did we? I don't recall any, but I always remember looking at pictures of those funky-ass stores, man.
The only way, Micro Center was the one here, and there's not a lot.
Micro Center. I remember trekking to Micro Center many times.
Fry's definitely a West Coast thing, but huge place. I mean, I've been to a few of them, and it's like, if you were into that kind of world, it was like.
Absolutely. And, you know, us old geeks, we remember, you know, trekking, actually making treks to, you know, Micro Center here, Fry's out there, and probably whatever is in the Midwest. That was a big deal. You would spend a lot of coin on gear, and it was, you know, it was just a rite of passage, you know, because it wasn't so much, I mean, there wasn't really too much online back then. Everything was super expensive. You could put your hands on stuff. You could geek out and just talk to people about stuff. And it's
John, what was the other store, the Frank and Mills, CompuServe or whatever that?
I wish I would remember this.
I don't remember what the store name was.
We used to go there all the time. Jesus.
And that was the only like around here that you had to like drive out to like the suburbs to get to Micro Center, which was the only one.
Yeah.
And I totally made that drive all the time because they had the best things.
They had the best stuff. Their prices were good. And then they opened that thing in Franklin Mills, which the, you know, they had a service department and it was just a real mess all the time. But
then you get the Gateway computer ones and the Dells and like, and Best Buy was trying to do their thing. Fry's was just great.
We could do a whole podcast on this. Jeez, we really should. I mean, there's so much nostalgia.
Since we're talking about Apple, like Apple just kind of, you know, destroyed how a technology store should look like, right? Because if you look at Apple stores, like the most best retail you can ever have per square foot, even Microsoft started doing shops and they looked exactly like Apple stores, right?
Yeah.
OnePlus said it started to take over. It was over for so many stores, I feel
True. But then you have, so like these shops in Target or even Best Buy, if you walk into them, hell, even in Costco, the Apple like display is an Apple looking display. It's not a, you know, cheap version of it.
Yeah, I have to say, I like what they're doing here in these Target stores, and you can just imagine what they're going to look like. They're going to have the nice blonde wood and the great lighting and all that kind of stuff, because the way the stuff is displayed in Target right now is not very sexy and not very Apple. It's actually a little surprising. I know the one Target that I go to, they have an end cap and then they have a little thing tucked in the side, but it's not really well branded or well stocked or well. you know, you get the guy and it's like, can I help you? But he's also working the TVL and selling PlayStations and other kind of stuff. Whereas this is going to be a little bit more dedicated in terms of the product line. Obviously, these people are going to be trained. I don't think they're going to do service. But of course, you know, grandma's going to come in and say, I can't see my grandson's photos on my phone. Can you help me? Go ahead, Brett. What were you going to say?
I assume that it's going to be like a similar vibe to how when they revamp their beauty section and it's like bright as hell. It looks like an actual like Sephora.
Yeah,
it's going to be that kind of lighting, that kind of vibe.
We commented on that when they did the rebrand. It actually feels like a fancy store. It's like really, Target's a nice experience now. You know, it's come a long way. And then you have Walmart, which is just, you know, Walmart.
there's some Walmarts that are pretty well put together. I think the newer ones.
The newer ones, like the ones around here are pretty run down. Even though we have one that moved, Bart, it's the one in Franklin Mills that was the dedicated footprint. It used to be Carrefour back in ye olden days. And then they moved.
Yeah.
They built a brand new Walmart. It's only like 5 or 6 years old and it's already like run into the ground. Yeah. It's just, you know,
I mean, there's a Walmart by my parents' house and then they build that big ginormous one in Levittown. And it was just like, all right, we'll close the rest of them now.
Yep.
The one in South Philly is not okay.
The one on Roosevelt Boulevard in Northeast Philadelphia is not okay. We'll add that one to the list. All right, let's move on. We got some more Walmart news. Walmart beefs up Cookshop Hub. Walmart and interactive video startup Echo have produced 22 episodes on Walmart Cookshop, an expansion of the retail chain shoppable video hub for home cooks. The site is stocked with episodes featuring chefs and celeb hosts, including Sofia Vergara and her son Manalo, Jamie Oliver, Patti LaBelle, and Ree Drummond, aka the Pioneer Woman, who always smiles all the time, as well as recipes from BuzzFeed's Tasty. The videos on Walmart Cookshop let viewers make certain choices to customize the ingredients in each of the recipes. For example, Jamie Oliver's Veggie Quesadilla video lets you select among scallions, red peppers, or both. So where does the profit come from? Of course, the videos let you purchase products and groceries from the nearest Walmart location, either for pickup or delivery. With a single click, you can add all of the ingredients in a given recipe to your virtual shopping cart. The expanded program comes as people make more meals at home during the pandemic, which also spurred growth in online shopping and digital media consumption. According to the U.S. Commerce Department, e-commerce sales jumped 32% to a record $791.7 billion with a B last year, outpacing the 3.4% growth in total retail sales. In addition, according to eMarketer, adults last year also spent 7 hours and 50 minutes a day consuming digital media. Oh my God, up 15% from the prior year. The Walmart Cookshop marks a convergence of those consumer activities, providing new ideas for home-cooked meals and a way to order ingredients directly from a connected device. Walmart Cookshop saw an impressive click-through rate of 8.7% during original testing, compared with the industry standard of around 2%. Walmart formed a joint venture with Echo back in 2018 to develop original video content. Shoppable video has become a bigger priority for Walmart as the retailer's e-commerce revenue grows and it competes more directly with rival Amazon. I think this is actually pretty cool. We've seen these shoppable video things. This takes it a little step further because it's like choose your own adventure. So I watched the Jamie Oliver one and it was like, okay, I'm Jamie Oliver here. I'm standing in my kitchen. Tell me why you want to do this. Do you want to try new recipes? Do you want to get good stuff for your kids? Or do you want to cook from scratch? Whatever one you pick, lead you down that lane. The visuals are great. There's nice music in the background. Obviously, you've got the staged Walmart products and everything that he shows you is Walmart because it's a Walmart video. No surprise there. But again, choose your own adventure. It walks you through. And then you get to the end and you say, shop the recipe. It'll give you the recipe. And then you click over and the shopping list is pre-populated with everything on the recipe and your nearest store to get it, add it to the cart, bing, bang, boom, it's done. I think it's great. It's well executed. My only complaint in the UI is if you, like me, you have a little bit of ADD and you're clicking away. If you click away, the video stops and there's no scrub. You can't scrub to where you were. You have to start over again. Not good to guys like me. No.
Yeah. But it's a good thing they're doing this. I mean, I think that's cool. It lets Walmart be, you know, that, you know, place that people can shop. Like, you know, problem I think we were just making fun of Walmart stores. Like, you know, they are what they are. But I think that in places that don't have access to things that we have around here in the big metropolitan areas, they're probably the best places to go to, right? Yeah.
Right.
You know, because we have Whole Foods and Wegmans and all the other shops that are around. If you go, you know, somewhere that doesn't have those things, this is great.
Yeah, no, and all kidding aside, the Walmart grocery here is actually really good in terms of selection, but it's just, you know, so many people and it just gets a little rough sometimes, but their selection is really good. And obviously the prices, you know, it's.
So speaking of selections, I think from what I've heard is they're the biggest provider of organic food actually in their stores.
Walmart. Yeah,
believe it or not, just because of the buying power, but I believe they have the most like organic foods.
Which is
fantastic, right?
Interesting. So getting back to this, I had a little nostalgia factor going on watching this Jamie Oliver video, because when my son was young, we're talking 3, 4, 5 years old, I was just kind of like figuring out like cooking myself. I remember going back a number of years, but I was kind of figuring
Naked
out.
Chef.
We watched Naked Chef. It was whatever night it came on, Friday night. That's what we did. We watched Naked Chef. And as my son got older, he and I started looking up Jamie Oliver recipes. We cooked a bunch of his stuff together. He taught us a lot about cooking and a lot about food because he was very approachable. He was a young guy. He cooked in a very cool way. But it was always like, it's not hard. Just slap it in the pan and glug some oil over it and slap and whack it in the oven. Like, stop overthinking cooking. It made it a lot more approachable. And he was one of the first, you know, hipster celebrity chef. He wasn't the first celebrity chef, obviously, but he was like, he appealed to me. And my kid loved it. My kid loved it for years. We watched Jamie Oliver for years. So I brought about a little nostalgia watching that this morning. It was pretty good.
Him and Ramsay have like a love-hate relationship.
Yeah. So Ramsay's like the other side of the coin. Like Jamie Oliver's the nice guy. And Gordon Ramsay's like, you Muppet.
Especially because Jamie Oliver is about health food too, which Gordon like doesn't give a shit about. But John, so weird that you shared that story, because I was going to share the exact same experience that I had growing up with my family. We watched The Naked Chef too, and I was actually a little triggered writing this because I had the biggest, fattest crush on Jamie Oliver
when he had long hair.
Yep, and my entire family would make fun of me and they'd be like, oh, we know why you want to watch the Food Network. And like, I was so triggered writing this because I just like flash back to my whole family just making an idiot out of me for having a crush on the celebrity.
Well, my son's mother actually watched it for the same reason. So we all had our reasons for watching Jamie Oliver, but I used to love his, you know, it was like, he had the cool apartment in London. It was like, he's a young guy and he's a cool wife. I was like, this guy is cool. Learned a lot of stuff from him. All right. So there you go. If you want to check out Walmart Cookshop, it's cookshop.echo.com. Check that out. We're going to wrap this one up. We'll be back next Friday to break down the week's e-commerce tech and retail news. And don't forget our long-form podcast, In the Ring, available on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. We have a new series coming up, which should be live by the time you listen to this. That's all based around the process of discovery. If you're an agency owner or if you're a client looking to, you know, have your business evaluated and move on to the next big project, discovery is a big process that you should definitely pay attention and take a look at. If you want to learn more about that, again, go to our other podcast, In the Ring. We'll put that in the show notes for you. We tried something last week, your favorite thing. What's your favorite thing this week? You guys got anything? Because I got one if you guys don't.
No, I don't have one. So,
all right. I'm going to give you a podcast recommendation. Even though being a podcast, we shouldn't recommend other podcasts. The show is called Land of the Giants. It's from Vox Media. It's in the third season. They follow the history of big tech companies. I think they did one. They did the first season, I think, was Amazon. Then they did Netflix. Well, now they're doing Google. And I'll point out a specific episode that I just listened to today. It's called Planet YouTube. It's the history of YouTube. So if you have a little nostalgia for YouTube and wonder where it all came from, check that out. It's called Land of the Giants, the Google Empire. Guys, got anything else?
Nope, that's it, my friend.
All right. Happy trails. Go enjoy. It's almost spring. Enjoy the weather. We'll see you next week. Bye, guys.
Bye.
See you again.